Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Born to love. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Ellie.
That is Scott Eckert. I'm Ellie Kemper. This is our podcast, Born to Love, where every week we invite a guest to come on our show and talk about something, anything in the world that they love.
And we have a very fitting guest today, Emma Lovewell.
Hello.
You know her, Ellie, because she's an exercise sort of guru. Now, I am not really into exercise, so I'm excited to talk to her. She's not talking to us about exercise. She's talking to us about home improvements.
Not only is our guest today a fitting guest because her last name is Lovewell, she's also a very fit guest. Okay. She's a physically fit guest because exercise is her domain.
That's her domain.
Scott, speaking of domains, speaking of cross-country basketball games, Scott and I enjoyed an unusual week because you might not know this, longtime listeners probably do, but anybody who may have missed this is that Scott and I are actually not recording from the same physical location. I am recording from New York City, arguably one of the greatest cities in the world. Scott is recording from Los Angeles, California, another arguably great city in the world.
It's a good city. I don't know that it's one of the greatest, but it's good. Yeah, it's sunny. We like it.
So Scott lives there and I live here. And yet we enjoyed something this week in our two separate cities that was the same thing.
We did the same activity, and I'm sure you're thinking, you're making your guesses, was it a meal?
Right.
Was it sleeping? Was it taking the kids to school? Yeah. No, we did all of those things. We do all those things all the time.
Yeah.
This was a special activity. This was a going out activity that Ellie did in New York and that I did in Los Angeles, and it's about to blow your mind. It was, Ellie,
the Harlem Globetrotters!
Do-do-do! I don't know what the music rights to that song are, but yes.
I just changed it so we wouldn't be actually whistling it. I saw the Harlem Globetrotters at Madison Square Garden on a Saturday. Scott?
I saw the Harlem Globetrotters at the Crypto.com Arena on Sunday. We saw the Harlem Globetrotters less than 24 hours apart. I don't know if it was the same Harlem Globetrotters squad. We tried to get to the bottom of it. It's a little unclear, but I think it's fair to say that both of us had our socks knocked off. Is that right, Ellie?
Socks were knocked off. And to clarify, if any of that's confusing, Scott and I believe, because I also saw that there was a game in like Sweden as well on Sunday. So Scott and I have good reason to believe that there are multiple Harlem Globetrotter squads. We do not think that the New York squad flew to LA and played in the game. They may have, but Scott and I can't figure it out. It doesn't matter because both squads were full of showmen and showwomen. It was a spectacle. We loved it.
Absolutely. See, the thing is that Harlem Globetrotters, you expect a lot of basketball talent.
Yeah.
And they delivered on that. They were sinking 4-point shots.
Yep.
But what I was expecting, but they over-delivered on, comedy talent. Oh, very funny, those Globetrotters.
Very funny. I mean, they had the audience in the palm of their hand. Can I just say, an RIP, I got to see with my sister Carrie, Meatloaf in concert once. Okay? Meatloaf. I don't know his real name.
It was legally changed to Meatloaf.
Last name Loaf. First name
Meatloaf. Last name Loaf.
Loaf, comma Meat. He was a performer. And I haven't seen such showmanship since. And then the Harlem Globetrotters came my way. Scott, what made it so great? He had the whole arena, at least our arena, was just in stitches, laughing. It was call and response. You know, I say, hey, you say, ho. You mentioned to me that you got a full arena wave going. Is that right?
We did. Yeah. They were such showmen, those Globetrotters, that they played an arena of 15,000 people like a puppet. They were controlling our every move. Their finesse was such that they could get us to do whatever they wanted. One of those things was a wave. We did the wave. Everyone's familiar with the wave.
Yeah.
I think it's a little divisive. I think wave's a lot of fun to do. On the other hand, there's some stadiums where it's not cool to do the wave, like Yankee Stadium. I'm a Yankee fan. It's not cool. But it was cool to do it at a Globetrotters game, especially when we're being commanded by the Globetrotters themselves to do the wave. But then they pulled a rabbit out of the hat, Ellie. They did an instant replay, and we had to do the wave backward.
No.
And then they did a slow-mo replay, and we did the wave in slow motion. And look, if you're sitting in your car during rush hour listening to me talk about doing the wave for the Harlem Globetrotters, you might be a little bit underwhelmed. If you're a 9-year-old boy who is already amazed by the talent on display on the court, and then you're forced to do the wave 3 times in different ways, including one of them slow, holy cow. It won't just make your weekend. It'll make your week. It'll make your month. Maybe not your year. I hope for my son that he has something more exciting than the Globetrotters in the year 2024. Definitely his week, for sure.
Extended to the month, Scott. You know, we, for whatever reason, maybe I was in the bathroom, but we didn't, I'd never experienced a wave at Madison Square Garden. I did experience the slow motion gag where they take out basically, it's either a beach ball or balloon, and they're like dribbling the balloon in slow motion, and it looks like a basketball, obviously. It was hilarious. Don't ask too many questions. I was there with a group of 7-year-old boys. That's all you need to know. And they were just tears running down their face laughing during the slow motion part. It was fantastic. I'm not a basketball expert. I don't follow basketball teams. I don't know even all of the rules of basketball. I didn't like playing basketball myself. It was basketball. But it also wasn't basketball. Like, these players are like the best in the world, I think. But they have this added talent where they're also performers. And so it was really a wonderful thing to watch. Very funny.
Ellie, you're mentioning that you didn't enjoy playing basketball yourself. Just reminded me of a huge epic thing that happened. In fact, I think the same day that we saw the Globetrotters, my daughter's basketball team won the league championship.
You've got to be kidding me.
I saw my daughter become a basketball champion on the same day that I saw the Harlem Globetrotters continue their winning streak of 8,000 plus games.
You've got to be kidding me.
No. And my daughter?
Which happened first?
Actually, now I'm thinking they're 1 week apart. I saw the Harlem Globetrotters a week ago Sunday, and then this past Sunday, I saw my daughter win the championship. So they were 1 week apart, but they were close enough together. I don't know which one brought me higher. Probably my daughter winning the championship.
Yeah, I hope your daughter, probably. Scott. She listens to the podcast.
Jenny, skip forward 30 seconds. She's not very good at basketball.
Scott, what is
but
happening?
Here's the, she's given her full. She's given her max effort. She's helping the team. She's not an anchor on the team. I wouldn't describe her as a playmaker. But we do have some playmakers on the team. Can I get a what for Olivia? Maybe Mila? Mm-hmm. There were so many tears at the end of that game. On the other side, of course.
Hello, tears of blood.
They were crying blood, the other team. Jenny's champion won so decisively and humiliating, the other team cried blood.
Yes.
That, I would have liked to see the Washington Generals cry blood. They do some gags with a slow motion balloon basketball. The Washington Generals cry blood.
Very extreme reaction to losing. Congratulations to Jenny's team. I have every reason to believe she's up freaking playmaker out there that they, you said they won the league championships?
At her rec center, yeah. They got an extra big trophy that was like champion. They did the playoffs and they won the last game. So they're the champs.
It's just fantastic. Congratulations to all the ladies on that team. I'm glad that they're able to dominate what I couldn't, which is to say basketball. Scott, one final thing about the Globetrotters that was lost on me is that it is choreographed. That is how good I thought
they're... You were not aware of that?
Nope. I'm saying I like knew it intellectually, yes. But as I was watching, I forgot. And I mentioned this to you earlier off air. The score was really close, as I'm imagining it was for you too. And in like the last 30 seconds, the Harlem Globetrotters won. And my son and I leapt to our feet. We were so happy. And the thing is that I forgot in that moment that it was rigged because they were so convincing. So I have nothing but great words to say about the Harlem Globetrotters, and they've been waiting for that. You know, they've been waiting for my endorsement, and I'm giving it to them. Guys, let's shift gears to talk about another showwoman of sorts, another performer and athlete, and that person is our guest today. Emma Lovewell. Emma Lovewell is a New York-based health and wellness expert and fitness professional. You may know her, as I do, as an iconic Peloton instructor, where she began teaching in 2017. She is a former professional dancer and a current author. Her memoir, Live, Learn, Love Well, Lessons from a Life of Progress, Not Perfection, came out last year. Emma is here today to talk to us about her love of home renovation. Scott, I am so excited to talk to this woman. I probably will get a little nervous because I see her on my screen all of the time. She's a beautiful woman. She's very cool. So you might see me get giddy. Just get ready for that. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
Whatever you do, no matter how excited you get, Ellie, don't cry blood.
No guarantees, Scott. No guarantees. Guys, when we come back, Scott and I are going to sit down with the lovely Emma Lovewell. Okay, everybody, we are back. I am so excited. I happened to look at myself on the screen, which I try not to do, but I did, and I'm red. I am flushed with excitement. We are talking to Emma Lovewell. Hi, Emma.
Hi.
Emma has a lot of fans, and I am at the top of the list of fans. So I'm giddy to have her on the show. Emma is here to talk about her love of home renovation, which I don't have much experience in. And Emma, to be honest, the experience I do have in it is like traumatic because I'm very bad at it. What are you working on currently?
Okay, so I'll have to clarify that it's a love-hate relationship. Oh, like, okay. Nobody really loves living in a renovation. I think it's really exciting and it's fun to like dream up what you want ideally. But then once you're in it, you're like, did I make a total big mistake? Right. Like, should I even be doing this right now?
Yep. Oh my gosh. Are you doing it yourself? Is that a weird question? Like, are you working with contractors or are you
right? Okay, so my partner Dave is a builder, and so we are very lucky because he's managing the entire thing.
Oh, that's amazing.
But we bought our home 4 years ago and we completely renovated it ourselves in the middle of COVID, where it was really hard to find appliances or materials anything. Yeah. And we built our entire kitchen with IKEA and just did it ourselves. Oh, so this round, we're actually turning our garage into half mudroom, half gym. Mm-hmm. And so now that we have that experience from 4 years ago, we're, you know, a little smarter and wiser, I hope.
Because Dave does it professionally, did you feel in good hands? Like, if you both had not known how to do this, do you think you would have embarked on it?
Well, let me clarify, because at the time, 4 years ago, he was not a builder.
Oh,
he changed. This actually totally shifted his career. He did an excellent job. And all of our friends were like, hey, after seeing our house, they were like, can we hire you? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, Dave, this is your calling. Yeah. So now, you know, he's been doing it for 4 years.
That's amazing.
But yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, you think, oh, I'm on this one path going this way. And then to have something like that is really lucky, because it turns out he not only is good at it, but seems to love it.
Yeah. He also love hates it too, I think, you know.
My thing is, I don't trust my own sense of taste or style when it comes to interior or any home design. And that's my problem. Like, do you call on others to like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I like don't make a decision unless I text a few people that I know and be like, do you like this lamp or this lamp? Do you like this color or this color?
Yep.
And I need that. It's very helpful.
Yeah. I'm like a little bit too adaptable. I'll look at a plant and I'm like, oh, that's nice to me. And then something, a completely different style, like some like traditional 18th century English oak dresser. I'm like, yes, that's the one. And then some modern, I don't know, whatever, like I don't know. I don't even know the names for design. Comes along and I'm like, that could work too. Like I just, I'd land on, I don't know. I mean, look at my background. Like there's no, there's no savviness to it. And also for me, I'm so doomsday with all the environmental stuff. I'm like, I don't know, are things going to be washed away or burned?
Totally.
What's the use? What's the use of making things nice? The world's going to burn anyway.
Exactly. We're all going to die.
We're all going to die. Why try to make things look good? Oh my gosh, a dark glimpse. Scott, where do you stand on home renovation?
I think I'm in your boat, Ellie. And by that, I mean not very good at it and a little terrified. Yeah. I remember we renovated our kitchen. We had a horrible leak and had to do some work just out of necessity. And since that was going to cost $1 zillion, it didn't seem like spending $1 zillion more to make the kitchen actually nice was that crazy.
Right.
And I remember that the contractors... Like, to me, it's just a whirlwind. So I wish I had a Dave to help guide me through it.
Honestly, everybody needs a Dave.
Because different people, different people come, like, there's plumbers and drywall guys and all different guys. And I can't pierce the veil because they all pretend like they know each other. But I have a hunch that some of them have never seen each other before, right? And they're all just kind of covering. And and we had this one wall that sort of stuck out from the, it wasn't a full wall, but they just like smashed it away and tore it down. And it was not supposed to be. And I was like, oh my God. Thankfully, it wasn't a load bearing wall, but they smashed this thing. And I was like, oh, this isn't supposed to be smashed. And I was like, what are we going to do? Head in my hands. And like my wife and I were freaking out. And then the like boss contractor guy, he came and he was like, it's fine. We'll just build it again. And then wouldn't you know, another guy came and built a wall. Yep. And I was like, well, this is amazing.
I mean, Emma, that guy as your partner, I mean, listen, Michael Coleman, that's my husband. We love him, but I mean, Lord help us if he were to ever embark on building a house. I mean, it would not. That's too bad.
I'm very lucky. We would not be doing any, I would not be doing any of this if it weren't for Dave.
Yeah.
So he really gets a gold star here.
No, I mean, my only experience, when I say my mom helped me so much. So all credit goes to Dottie, my mom. But I renovated, we renovated an apartment in Manhattan. And that almost took us to the brink, like the end of our, not really the end of our relationship. My mom listens to this. Mom, it was not the end. You did all the work. But because I don't know anything about it, I don't know who's like cheating me on my, I mean, this is such a common refrain. I remember we had to go, Emma, I'm sure you've gone to like the stone yards.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Scott, have you ever been to a stone yard?
I was going to ask about something related to the stone yard. Yes, I've been, I don't know. I don't know what classifies as a stone yard, but I've been to a warehouse-like place that sells a bunch of rocks and countertops and
that's
things,
about it.
Things that are made of stone. That's a stone yard, right?
Mine was outside. Mine was in New Jersey in the blazing sun, right? I mean, and it was a stone yard. And I'm like looking at the slabs like, yes, that one. But then they deliver the stone. I have no idea if it's the one I ordered, right?
No, I mean, it's supposed to be the one that you picked.
It's supposed to be the one you picked. But
in theory.
Right. But because I am, it's like, just, this is what happened with the stone. I ended up asking, I was like, could I get essentially an itemized receipt? Because I wanted to know how much the slab cost. And I was called out for questioning them. And I was like, no, 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 I just want to know how much the slab was. It's
listen. I think what you can gather from this conversation is you just can't trust anybody.
No. You can't trust anybody, and the world's coming to an end. So what?
Let the world burn. We're all gonna die.
Hold up.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah!
I'm retired from life. You know that.
His business is failing. His house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen. Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new, Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC+.
What has been your proudest achievement, like, that you, Emma, have brought to the renovation?
Oh.
Is that hard? Is
yeah,
that too hard?
I mean, no. Okay. So, I mean, bigger picture, like, life mantra-wise, I think the renovation helped sort of spark this realization in myself. And I've always kind of known this about myself, but, like, I'm a doer. And I learned this from my parents. My parents didn't have a lot of money. So if we wanted anything, it was like, make it yourself.
Yep.
Or figure, grow it yourself.
That's great.
And so I learned that from them and used that mentality in the home renovation space. Because I'm not a designer. I'm not whatever. But I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to watch YouTube. I'm going to watch other people make mistakes.
Yep.
I'm going to watch other people figure this out. I'm going to read the articles. I'm going to phone a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool to see what I was capable of. I was like, I have power tools. I can build stuff.
Yep.
And so honestly, every drawer in my kitchen, the hand pulls, I bought these like brass little hand pulls, and I put every single one of them on every single drawer. So every single time I reach to like get a spoon,
yep.
I am so proud of myself.
Oh, I get it. Oh, what? I absolutely understand that. And it's something, it's tangible. You see what you, I don't have any example of that. I'm trying to think of anything I've constructed.
But that's not true. I'm going to interrupt Ellie because you on multiple occasions have talked with pride about the shoe rack you built.
That's true.
I
assembled a shoe rack.
Honestly, though.
It was something. Scott and I live on different coasts, but you were visiting and you entered as I was putting the finishing touches on it. So that's true. I have assembled a shoe rack.
You get to walk by that every day and be like, feel a little sense of accomplishment.
It feels like a measurable sense of accomplishment, right? I've spoken to you, Scott, about like, you know, fixing something in your home simply by looking it up on YouTube. That's mostly how we do it now, right? You could consult a manual, whatever it is. Oh my gosh, the pride that you feel from like, what is that? I guess it's just.
I actually, now that you said that, I have two more examples of silly things that I like gloat about.
Absolutely.
Our refrigerator freezer stopped making ice. And I was like, what's going on? Why isn't it making ice?
Yep.
And Also, here's a PSA for everybody. If anybody tries to sell you appliance insurance, I swear it's a fraud. Since we think everybody's cheating us and the world's going to end. Yes. Here's another example. That appliance insurance is a fraud.
Forget it.
I paid them like $500. No. And then I was like, hey, my freezer's not working. They were like, okay, pay us $150 and we'll send somebody over. And they didn't send anybody over.
Yeah.
Oh, and so
I won't make you give me brand names, but offline I'm going to ask because I had a similar experience. It is infuriating.
Totally. Yes. And so then I was like, I'm going to figure this out. So I can't actually tell you how I fixed it because I literally went through the list of troubleshooting and I did everything.
Yep.
I like unplugged it, replugged it. I changed the temperature in the freezer. I like clicked the red light and I held the lock button. I turned off the wire, whatever. Like I did all the things.
Yep.
And then it just started working. And I was like, I don't need anybody.
I know.
I don't need any of you.
It's so true. Because you are self-sufficient in that way.
Yes.
What a blessing. Because there are little small moments where I'm like, oh, yes, I fixed that. And if you just take the time, and I always think, oh, anyone probably thinks, oh, yeah, you're not a freezer repair person. You don't necessarily know that. Yeah. Guys, this is a revelation.
Newsflash, Emma Love, not a freezer repair person professionally. Yes.
No, I'm a plumber on the side.
On the side. That's what it is. They're kind of handy skills to have around. But also just you feel like, oh, right, just because I do this all the time as an adult where I'm like, this is who I am. This is what I do. And then when you acquire a basic new skill like that, it feels really special.
You're evolving.
Yes, in these small ways.
Emma, I have a question. When we talked about home improvement, I assumed that it was just kind of the decorating aspect of it, but it seems like you guys really got your hands dirty. So my question for you is this. What is your favorite tool?
Oh, Scott, going in there.
As a power tools user, see, because I have a drill and I have a leaf blower, but apart from those.
Those are great tools, by the way.
They're both so satisfying, Emma. I'm asking selfishly because now whatever your favorite tool is, I'm tempted to get one.
And I'm also going to say that I think Dave's favorite tool might be the leaf blower because...
That's Scott's. I mean, am I wrong, Scott?
How gratifying is that? Do you have a backpack one or do you have the hand one?
Oh, man, I don't know. I think a backpack one would take me to another level. I just have a little hand one. Like a jetpack, like one that's just full of gasoline.
You feel like you're in Ghostbusters. Yep. That's actually what it feels like.
Yeah, it's exciting. You guys have a one that's with the backpack? Oh, my gosh. I'm so. So that's your favorite? What's your second favorite? I need a new one, Emma.
What is my favorite tool?
Do you have any saws?
We do have saws. We do have saws.
That's like the next level is the saws.
Table saw makes a straight cut like that.
Oh, Lord. I mean, I would be wrecked with nerve. I mean, I would. Oh.
Did you guys have to do shop class in elementary school?
Yes. Did you?
Yeah.
I did. And I don't understand how that was allowed.
That's what I was about to ask. Does anybody here know if they still offer that? I think it's like Makerspace. That's what I hear.
I think different places still have shop, but I would hope that the safety regulations are better. I could be misremembering this, but I don't think I am. I think that my shop teacher was missing a finger.
Mine might have been too. I have this. Like,
really?
Yeah. or just the tip.
Which came first? Do you think that was a prerequisite to become a shop teacher, is it a cause and effect? I don't know. But in any case, mine was not. I don't remember any missing digits, I don't think. Emma, did you ace shop class?
I don't remember how I did, but I do remember that was my first introduction into power tools.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we had that experience and also shocked that they let us.
Crazy. I mean, I remember in like sixth grade, I feel like it was mostly plastic stuff and like wood carving. But then once we got into seventh grade, there were definitely saws going on.
I made a coat hanger and I gave it to my dad. My dad still uses it.
Now that is the loveliest thing I've ever heard.
Right?
It's really sweet. There were four of us and we all made clocks, but I don't know. I don't know where those clocks are.
I made a can crusher. Did you ever seen one of those?
No.
It was made of wood.
Like
I mean, I think you've probably never seen one because they're not useful,
right.
But you would put like a soda can in this wood hinged device and you'd step on it or push it and it would crush the can. So you could like fit more cans in the recycle bin or something.
I didn't even know this existed.
But I've learned since I built that, number one, you can crush a can just by stepping on it. And number two, you don't need to crush them at all.
No, not necessary. But I will say, like, even that small introduction, I guess, to tools and using things with your hands, really looked forward to doing that. Because what a sense of like, okay, I can get through. You feel so self-reliant in that way.
Yes.
Can I ask what the biggest challenge with home renovation? And also, does it strain your own relationship with Dave? Because I mean, how can it not? Right? It's like there you grow times, stronger.
Totally, yes. But it's like there are times where it's just like, it just feels like we're constantly having like a business meeting and figuring out logistics. And I'm like, oh yeah, also we're romantic partners.
Oh,
like,
that's so hard, right? My husband pretty much stayed out of the home renovation. It was like me and my mom. But it was because that piece.
It's hard. Hard. But I think it does make you stronger. And like and actually, I think we're good when we're working on a project together, actually. And we figured that out early on when we met in New York City and we moved in together. We had this little backyard that we decided we wanted to build a garden together in the East Village in this like cement slab. So literally we're already building little garden beds. We went to Home Depot and bought some tomato plants and we did this whole thing and then realized there was no water out there. So I had to carry buckets of water down three flights of stairs just so I could water these tomato plants. But you know what? I was in great shape that summer.
Yeah, no kidding. And also, did the tomato plants bloom or blossom?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, that's another one.
We had peppers, we had herbs, we had flowers, and we felt so accomplished. Yep. And so that we actually do well, like building, even though there can be bickering, of course, and disagreements. Yes. But like overall, I think we really enjoy like working on something together.
Yep. So right now, obviously, you're staying in your home as you're renovating.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
I don't recommend that for anyone.
What is the like foreseeable? Do you have an end date or you don't know?
Dave says like April. So I think it's going to be like May or June because I always just have to really set my expectations. Yeah.
You cannot trust your contractor.
No, right? That's what we're talking about.
If you love him, that's the truth. I have a decorating question for you, and I don't know if it applies as much to your current project as it did to your kitchen. It definitely did when we did our kitchen. I don't know what it's called. I think it's called the paradox of choice or something, where if you're given too many choices, it becomes crippling. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that until I had to pick a backsplash.
Or there are things that you didn't even know you had to make a choice about. Like when Dave was like, what are they called? Like the baseboards, do you want them to be 4 inches or 5 inches? Oh. And I was like, Dave, are you kidding me?
And
that's a choice I have to make.
And did you make that choice? Because right.
You know what? Bob Villa, since we're all around in the 90s, do you remember Bob Villa? My thought is somebody else figured this out already.
Uh-huh.
Somebody else figured out how high the towel rod should be in your bathroom.
Yep.
I'm not the one who should be deciding how tall that towel rod should be. I am going to Google and I'm going to read Bob Villa's advice.
Bob Villa.
He was like the 90s.
I remember him for sure. I don't know if it was PBS or just reruns, but he would just, I think he did a show called This Old House or something.
Oh,
yes.
And now there's like a whole empire of shows it where they just go to a crappy house and make it nice. But I think he was a trailblazer at that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And I feel, where was I during this like pop culture phenomenon? I don't know. But the fact that he's still working is pretty great.
I don't know if he's around, to be honest. So after this conversation, I'm going to go and look him up and see if like what's going on.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But
God bless.
Yeah.
God bless Bob. Yeah,
exactly.
But that's exactly right. I remember there was huge drama about the counter height, the bathroom counter height, and like the contractor and my mom, they had different ideas about how tall it should be. And you're exactly right. Shouldn't that be established? Shouldn't that just be a height that accommodates all different human heights? Do you remember where you came down on the baseboard height?
Baseboards. I think we did 5 inches. Yeah.
And who would know?
That extra inch makes all the difference.
I hope anybody, whoever comes to my house, notices that. Like, I hope that they notice that.
See, this is the thing. It's both a blessing and a curse. I do think I can live with mostly anything. So if something didn't come out as I wanted it, I'm pretty much okay with it.
I'm that way too.
Yeah, right? Because you can take the effort to fix it or you can live with it. My thing I don't have strong opinions about is paint color. The general color okay, I want it to be dark blue. Okay. But when they show you those swatches and it's like a million shades of dark blue, that to me, I do check out. I'm like, whatever is up on the wall will work, right?
I hear you. I think in that instance, when I've been with the decision fatigue and the, like, there's too many choices, like first I narrow it down to like three options.
Yes.
And then sometimes it has to do with price.
Yes, of course.
You're looking at like good, better, best. Yep. I always just go for the one in the middle.
Yes.
Or depending on what it is. If I need it to be like high end, maybe I'll splurge. If I don't care at all, then, you know, low end. But if it is like a color thing, I'm like all about intuition. I'm all about like which one draws my eye more, which one makes me feel calm or excited or whatever emotion I'm trying to evoke. And then I make a decision and there's no turning back.
Yeah, that's so smart.
There is no, and I'm like confident in that. And I'm like, this is the right one.
Yep.
And it's the right one. And I'm just going to make it be the right one. And even if it's not the right one, it now is the right one.
I think that is so valuable because otherwise you're living in your, well, in this case, your home, but we can apply it to really anything. And you're, and it's, you're full of what if, like, oh, should I have?
No,
don't.
You don't turn around. Mm-hmm. You don't look back.
Also, specifically with paint, we all know it changes throughout the course of the day as the sun shifts and whatever it is. And I have had friends who bemoan the choice they made. They're like, it's just too buttery or whatever. And you're like, but I don't feel that. And like, just choose to like it. I don't know. People are more perceptive, I guess, than I am. But there is no time to be second guessing once you've made the decision. Is Dave the same way?
Dave's kind of the same way. He will sometimes look back a little bit more than I do. I'm the person who's like, nope, put your blinders on, moving. Just because I think you need one of the people to be like that.
Somebody has to,
What's the biggest thing that Dave regrets? Like, what's the thing that keeps him up at night that's like, oh, the sheen is matte instead of semi-gloss or whatever?
Oh, that is, I know, these are good words. That is a good... I mean, there was this one, speaking of paint color, we had this one room and it was in our foyer. You walk in and it was all cedar planks and it was natural wood. We had to replace a few of them. And the guy who replaced them was like, well, you'll never be able to match the new wood with the old wood. So it's always going to be a different color. You should do a paint stain or semi stain, which PSA is just paint. But he called it. He called it a semi stain or something like that. And I totally like blame this on the paint guy because I can't take responsibility. But like he just painted the whole thing brown. He was like, it's going to look like wood. It did not. It looked like poop brown all over the walls.
Yes.
Like the most like orangey, gross poop brown. Ever seen. Yeah.
Well, you had me with poop brown, but the orangey stuff, now I'm starting to worry.
I don't know. Like, it just was not, there was nothing appealing about it. And it was just paint. There was no stain. So we had to make this choice.
Yeah.
And we picked this like really dark greenish blue. And it's a beautiful color. And then it became a statement room because you walk in and it's this dark green room. And I'm like,
That's right. And again, this might be a shortcoming, but I will often defer to people who I deem like must know more about this sort of thing. So I don't know if you work with like interior decorators. On the rare occasions I have, anything they say, I'm like, that's good. That's the right answer. And then I move forward with it. I don't know. I've accepted that I don't have like the best eye. And so it's okay to lean on people for help. And then I had an interior decorator do this room. I'm
kidding. The chair. Ellie, very proud of that chair.
Don't get started on the chair. It is from Pasadena Antique Center. Scott doesn't like that chair. But anyway, thank you.
I like it.
Thank you, Emma. I trust your eye more than Scott's. I do.
I don't dislike the chair. We don't need to get sucked down the vortex of the chair.
For those of us who are listening, it's a red bamboo chair. It's beautiful.
And it matches the red lampshade.
Thank you.
It looks like.
What, Scott?
I'm not going to start crapping on the chair.
Don't yuck my yum.
I'm not going to yuck your yum, Ellie. I like the chair. I just like that you like it, like on a scale out of 10. You seem to like it like an 8 or a 9 out of 10. And it's a five for you.
It's a 5 for you. Emma, you cook. You are obviously a fitness and wellness guru. Do you see adding home renovation to your resume? Or is that something that you want to keep as like a side gig? Side activity.
Right. I've never really designed somebody else's space per se. Right. So it's really just like my own personal thing. I mean, I've given my input to friends' projects, but I've never actually gone and done that. But that might be like a fun project to do in the future, maybe. And I also think it's like sort of related to wellness in a way, because I think your home space is so important. Like if you live in a cluttered place that makes you stressed out or depressed or sad, like that affects your mental health, therefore your physical health, and affects so many other, your productivity, so many other things. So like if you're trying to live your best life physically, mentally, spiritually, like your living space is included in that.
Yep.
So I think there is some ties with like home design and renovation and also wellness.
I completely agree with you. I mean, you wouldn't be able to tell from this particular nook. And especially for me, it's like having enough, this sounds so basic, but having enough light in your whatever space it is, because that's something that I've placed such a premium on, where it's just like you, it has such an effect on your daily mood. It just does.
Yep. If you don't get natural light in your day, like you're so affected by it.
Gosh.
And then if you want to create like a calming sense in the evening before you go to bed, it affects your sleep.
Yep.
You want to like dim the lights. You don't want overhead light.
Yep.
Like there's all these strategies to
it. I'm the worst. I would love a bedroom that actually adheres to those principles. It's like I'm scrolling before bed. Not supposed to be doing that. I don't dim any lights. I mean, if you designed a room with that in mind, I feel like that would be really helpful. And also, but it's so nice that you are honing the skill on the side, because who knows what, you know, future chapters bring. Actually, I don't know. Are there any women with like home renovation shows?
Yeah.
Oh, there are lots.
I'm certain.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm still in 1992.
There are a lot of couples. I'll say there are a lot of like heterosexual couples that are like doing it together. So I think that's definitely a trend. I know. I'll add it to the list of things to do.
Exactly. Right. On the side, just launch a show with Dave. Emma, thank you so much for talking with us. Whenever we have these conversations, I come away with a greater appreciation of the subject. And now I'm like, yes, I'm going to clean my space in a way that like makes it fresh and calming and good for my overall attitude. So thank you for talking to us about home renovation.
Of course.
If you have time, we play a game with all of our guests. It's called Love It or Loathe It.
Okay.
It's a pretty fun game. You can't lose. And if you have time, we'll play that when we come back.
Let's do it.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my character, Gray Parrish, from my new series, Parrish.
Yeah, I can drive.
My character was a getaway driver.
Yeah! I'm retired from life, you know that.
His business is failing, his house is going up for sale. He is the everyman.
Tell me about this driver job.
We got a lot of action in this show. We have moments of real danger, and we want to feel as if anything could happen.
Gray is invited to drive for this man. He's invited to make money, and he quickly realizes this is not the right thing to do.
I did what you told me to.
And he's in a world over his head.
Now, let's go!
He will try to do what's right,
and seek justice.
Parish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
And we're back. We are back with the icon, Emma Lovewell. Emma has been talking to us about her love of home renovation. And now we're going to play a game called Love It or Loathe It. So Emma, in this game, we are going to throw some subjects or items at you. And you have to tell us if you love that thing or you loathe that thing. There can be no gray area. There's no nuance here. And we would love your explanation. It's not a rapid fire thing. It's,
Okay. Great.
And there, even though I said you can't lose, there are right and wrong answers. I'm kidding. There's no right or wrong. Okay. Emma, love it or loathe it? Sailing.
Love it. I grew up sailing. Oh, yeah. My dad had a sailboat. I went to sailing camp and it's like exhilarating, a little dangerous and very fun.
Yeah.
I love being on the ocean. I'm from an island, so I just grew up around the ocean and yeah, love it.
I've only sailed like once or twice in my life and I was terrified the whole time
because
it's scary.
It can be scary. It can be for sure. And then the best thing about it is like there's no motor. Like,
right.
It's just the wind. And you can fly, you know, you can go really fast. It's so cool.
But it is so cool. But sorry to ask it, but what happens if like you fly out too far? Like, how do you get back?
You go back. You learn the wind. So when you're like going into the wind, you have to tack and go on either side of the wind because you can't go directly into the wind. When you go away from the wind just carries you straight.
I'm getting.
You just, you know.
Yeah. It sounds empowering.
It is.
Right?
I'm obsessed with nautical adventures.
Great.
I love like sailing movies. I read books about sailing. I like the Navy.
Yep.
And the truth is I have never really done much sailing. And I just literally yesterday suggested to my wife, well, why don't we like take a sailboat or something for a trip we're planning this summer? And she was so contemptuous. She was like, well, you don't know how to sail. And I was like, well, of course I don't know how to sail. I want to like pay someone. I want to like live on the boat for 2 days and let them do the sailing.
Yes, that's the gateway drug into learning how to sail.
Right.
You go on somebody else's boat. The best boat to have is your friend's boat.
Love it.
I mean, that does seem like being exposed to that. I mean, is it a thing where you're almost like in awe of what the person is doing? How does it become something you want to do?
Because you watch somebody who knows exactly what to do, the way to pull the line in, to trim the sail, the way to like maneuver around and get you from point A to point B in like this beautiful setting. Hopefully it's a beautiful setting and you're not in like a storm.
Right.
It's
a squall.
Yeah, it's very like you admire that person.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, you're in power.
Yeah.
You're in control.
Yeah.
Like you're harnessing the wind to like do what you want, you know?
You have planted a seed. I'm looking for that mid.
Everybody get on the boat.
Yeah.
I have somebody else sail you around. It's a great time.
God, Vanessa needs to listen to this when it comes out and she will take Emma Lovewell's note of direction.
Should.
I feel like that's.
You should.
She's going to be ashamed into taking me sailing.
Do a sunset cruise? Are you kidding me? A cheese plate with a bottle of wine?
Oh my
like
gosh.
A catamaran? Like, please.
Book it.
Any day of the week.
Book it.
Book it. All right. Well, Emma, I've got the next one here for you. It doesn't have much to do with water. It doesn't have much to do with land, but it does have a lot to do with the wind. Love it or loathe it, airports.
Loathe it. Loathe it. Who likes the airport?
I do.
You don't like people movers? People who love people movers.
I love spare time at an airport. It's a delicate balance. Obviously, I don't want to be stranded in an airport. When there is... This is not about my love or loathe, but I'm just going to impart something. See if anybody, I don't know, if it changes their mind. There's something about it's like you're out of control. It's you've relinquished control. Like time is no longer in your control. You're at the whim of the airline. You hope it takes off on time. Maybe it won't. And in the meantime, it's like you have lots of choices, but only so many. And so like it's just nice. It's everything is being controlled for you in a way that.
Yeah.
And the way that it manifests itself is through like Auntie Anne's pretzels. Like you only have so many choices. I don't know. I love it.
The opposite of the paradox of choice, right? The limited choices is what you enjoy about it. It's like Auntie Annie's or or whatever the f- yes.
I just think, like, as soon as I get to an airport, I'm immediately exhausted and a little stressed. Yeah. Like, I just think my heart rate goes up a little bit too high.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's a fine, as I say, a delicate balance. But I think you're probably in the majority. I don't think people love airports.
No. Okay.
So that was the right answer. Yeah. Okay. Love it or loathe it. Lobster rolls.
Love it.
Uh-huh.
I'm a New England girl. Like, I just, all that stuff. A lobster roll. But here's the question for you guys. Yeah. Do you, like, what are the two types? A Connecticut style or a Maine style?
Our producer has specified Connecticut lobster roll is hot with butter. A Maine lobster roll is cold with mayo.
Yes.
In that case, I have to tell you, is this too gross? I prefer a Maine one, a cold with mayo.
I'm not into that one. I mean, I'll eat it. Yeah. I'll eat any lobster roll, let's be clear.
Yes.
But I'm into the Connecticut, the warm with butter.
Yeah.
Basically, I just think of seafood, like crustaceans, as just a vehicle for butter.
Yes.
So like any clam or like anything that just can just shovel more butter into your mouth, I think it's delicious.
Scott, where do you land? Where do you fall in the lobster roll?
Love them both. Agree completely. We just tried to have some lobsters in my house. We got some whole lobsters like from the market or whatever. And for the first time ever, I was like grossed out about cracking them apart and eating their insides. But and lobster roll is ideal because you don't have
to do anything. Wait, you made the lobsters at home? They were alive?
No. The market that we went to, they like steamed them or boiled them or whatever. Then we took them back whole and we cracked them up. You understand what I mean? It's a lot of work and it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
And I had I don't remember being grossed out by it before, but for some reason I was pretty grossed out by it this time. So I like lobster rolls better.
I'll say, and Dave makes fun of me because he'll say this to any of our friends. He'll be like, you've got to watch Emma eat a lobster because I have two things going for me. I'm a New Englander, so I'm just very used to eating lobster. And I'm also Chinese. And so I do not leave a crumb of meat. I find the meat. There's meat in the head.
Yeah.
Did you know that? There's meat all around. Like,
okay. I don't like it. Yes. But I believe you.
There is no shell unturned.
Emma,
that's not meat. That's brain. That you're eating lobster brain, Emma.
It's like meat in their between their like lungs. Anyway,
I believe
we don't have to go too deep into this.
I have muscles in my head. I'm feeling them right now. I mean, and also very smart. Waste not, want not, guys. True confession, I've never eaten a lobster. Like, I've eaten lobster rolls, but I've never, like, cracked open.
Like, done the whole thing.
It does seem like so much. It's not from
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And it feels...
It is a lot of
work.
But it's an experience everybody needs. You need to get the boiled lobster, an ear of corn, and some potatoes. Mm-hmm. Have yourself a little clam bake.
Yes, yes.
On a plate. Eat it outside somewhere near an ocean.
Yep. Preferably while sailing. I mean, I'm just saying, like, for the full experience.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love it or loathe it. Home Depot.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's got, love it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's like, it's a playground. I mean, you can get a Snickers bar there. You can get windshield wiper fluid. You can get
plants. Yep.
You can get furniture.
My main experience in Home Depot is when I lived in Los Angeles and I was overwhelmed. I'd be overwhelmed because you feel intimidated because so many customers there know exactly what they're doing and I don't.
But I feel like the workers really like it when you ask them for help because then they get to show you their expertise.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
One thing that I really like about Home Depot is that there's a pretty big spread between the least expensive item and the most expensive item.
Definitely.
Because you can buy like a, it's like,
you
really?
Can buy like
this little hinge? This hinge is 8 cents? And they're like, yeah. Oh, but this, you know, this industrial appliance is $28,000.
Exactly.
All right, last one, Emma. Love it or loathe it, solo dinners.
Love it. I actually wrote a book a year ago and I have like a whole chapter on there about dating yourself. And I would go out to eat by myself, especially as a New Yorker, Ellie, you probably understand this. Like, it's so common for New Yorkers to just go into a restaurant, sit at the bar and just, there's so many people who do it.
Yep.
And so at first it feels really awkward and you're like staring at your phone or reading the menu 12 times or whatever. But then you just learn, you're like, I live with myself. I need to be comfortable in this body and this brain. Like, this is like quality time with yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's so valuable. And it is, it is weird. Like, I do think anybody in a city, it's like, yes, you're not really stared at because it's so common. I maybe at a different place, it might be a little bit, I don't know, more conspicuous, but it's such a like blessing that that can happen. And it is, I've done it a few times recently. I have brought a book with me and I put my headphones in just so I don't know if that's rude, but isn't that indicating like, don't talk.
Don't talk to me.
Yeah. And it's that's so fine. Relaxing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it makes you pay more attention to the flavor of the food.
Too, 100%.
Because you're like less distracted by other things.
Yep.
I have had some of like the most delicious meals.
Yes. And it's all, and it's like, especially with the headphone ruse, you can like look up as though you're listening to something, but you're really just thinking about what you're tasting. It's so nice. Scott, have you done it?
I can't recall going to a meal like you're describing by myself. I often eat alone because I'm a lonely, pathetic person, but not in this luxurious. I mean, if I'm eating alone, chances are it's in my car, right?
So sad. Scott loves a solo meal in his car. It's not sad, by the way. That can be just as nice. It's all about reconnecting with yourself. Emma, congratulations. You've won the game. Good job.
Thank you.
Applause all around. We have had such a pleasure talking with you, and we know that you're busy. So thank you for taking the time to chat with us. Is there anything of your many projects going on, anything specific you would like to plug or promote right now?
Yeah, I have a Substack newsletter. It's called The Love List. Yes. So you should check that out on Substack. I send out some travel stuff, some recipes. I love to cook, so I share a lot of that on there. And then obviously, if you want to work out with me, you can find me on the Peloton app or the bike and come work out with me.
Yeah, we love you. I heartily endorse that. Work out with Emma. You will feel immediately better. It's so funny because it's like, Emma, you like help people through times that you probably don't even know about. And I'm included in that. So thank you for all that you bring to not only the Peloton community and people who do work out with you, but just I think your book and everything. You have a very far reach. So thank you very much for everything that you've done to make people happy. And that includes today. Thank you for being on our show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Born to Love. We'll be back next week with brand new things that we love.
We want to hear from you. Leave us a review in Apple Podcasts and tell us what you love. We might even ask one of our guests in an upcoming Love It or Loathe It.
Born to Love is hosted and created by Ellie Kemper and Scott Eckert.
Our executive producer is Aaron Kaufman. Our producers are Sheena Ozaki and Zoe Dankla.
Born to Love is part of Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network in collaboration with iHeart Podcasts. Special thanks to Han Sani,
Rachel Kaplan and Adriana Cassiano,
Michael Fales,
Alex Coral,
and Bahid Frazier.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.